Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
Also, we're going to get in tonight to about Iran and its role in biblical prophecy, along with next week where we're going to tie in Iran and Russia. There is a book that's going to be available in the bookstore. I told Trisha to make sure it was ordered today. It's called Israel on High Alert. Every single one of you need to read this book. I bought it by accident, Reba, working on tonight. And this book by a guy named, he's got a doctorate in theology, Ron Rhodes. Where's his doctorate from? It doesn't say. Oh, yeah, he does. Dallas Theological Seminary. He's got a good doctorate right there. You need to buy this book when it gets in the bookstore. If today's study and this week's study has done nothing more in my life, it has made me more aware that Jesus Christ is about to come back at any moment. And I hope he comes back tonight. Any witnesses? Say amen. All righty. Everybody ready? Say amen. I want you to turn in your Bibles. We're going to look at several verses, but I've got to set this up. I want to talk about Iran's role in biblical prophecy in conjunction with the things we've been talking about Israel and Syria. And you can't talk about Iran in the Bible without talking about Russia. Now, you need to know there's ways in which you can know these things and ways in which you don't know these things. We're not following wise tales. We're not following sensational TV preachers. We are following the Word of God and our exegesis and our hermeneutics. Exegesis, pulling the text out and looking at it. Our hermeneutics, how you interpret the text, are very solid. There's a lot of biblical prophecy that kind of gets out there, just like spiritual warfare. It gets out here in the goofy land. That's not where we're going to be. We're going to stick strictly with the Scriptures. Say amen. We're going to make sure that when we say words like, this has never happened before in history, your ears are going to perk up because you can know whether it's happened in history or not. That is called a preterist or a preterist view of eschatology, which is the study of last things, which means a preterist or a preterist, depends on how you pronounce it, believes that a lot of what's happened in the book of Revelation has already happened. And I'm going to show you one such event with Alexander the Great tonight as it deals with Iran and Persia. But it has never happened, Ezekiel 36, 37, and 38, the coalition. It has never happened, Isaiah 17. It has never happened that those countries came together as a coalition. It's never happened. It's never happened that Damascus has been completely destroyed and inhabited only by goats. Never happened. So, are you ready? Say amen. Some things I want you to hear. Go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, and let's read this. We're going to read quite a few scriptures to set the foundation. Pay careful attention, then, to how you walk. Not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. So don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And don't get drunk with wine, which leads to reckless actions, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Talks about speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, which is an assumption of honoring the Sabbath day and keeping it holy. Singing and making music to the Lord with your heart. He didn't ask for you to sing songs and clap your hands. He says to sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. That's what worship is. Giving thanks always for everything, gratitude to the God, the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting one to another, being accountable to one another in the local church, in the fear of Christ. But it says be careful that you watch how you walk in the last days and don't be unwise and be very careful to making the most of your times because you're living in evil days. I don't mean to be a pessimist, but how many of you believe in or know that we're living in evil days? We're living in evil days where people lie, politicians lie. You get accused of, it's just unbelievable the stuff going on. Go ahead and go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians is a wonderful book written by the Apostle Paul. And go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 2. And it says, about the times and the seasons, brothers, you do not need anything to be written to you. For you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Now, I want to remind you that the doctrine that a lot of backslid, pablum preaching, lukewarm preachers preach in America tonight is not necessarily the doctrine that the early church believed. And the early church most certainly believed that Jesus Christ was coming back at any moment, and that he would return to this earth. And I believe that. And I don't say that easy. I don't say it without having been greatly confronted by professors in my first doctorate. I believe it. I believe it with everything in my heart. It makes sense. It's logical. It's rational. And at the end of the day, it's happening right now, right in front of all of us. But even 2,000 years ago in the city of Thessalonica to the church of Thessalonians, he says, make sure for yourselves that you know very well. He said, if there's a doctrine that you need to know very well, how many times have you seen in the Bible, you need to know it all, but how many times have you seen in the Bible where Paul looks at you and says, you better know this very well? Very well. Know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When they say peace and security in Israel, then sudden destruction comes on them like labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers, are not in the dark, so that this day would overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of lights and sons of the day, and we're not of the night or of the darkness. So then we must not sleep like the rest, but we must stay awake and we must stay sober as to the coming of the Son of Man. Now go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 5. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 5, it says, don't you remember that when I was still with you, I told you about this. Now what's he talking about? He's talking about how in the last days, the day of the Lord is coming, how there will be apostasy come and a world leader. And he says, and you know what currently restrains him so that he will be revealed in his time? For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. You know that there is an arrival of an antichrist spirit in this country and around the world. You know that there is an arrival expected, because everywhere you look, you see lawlessness. You see people getting away with breaking the law. And you see people getting to go to jail based on who they don't know, and people going to jail, not going to jail based on who they do know. There's lawlessness everywhere. How many of you can see this? Can I see hands? There's lawlessness everywhere. So for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. It was at work 2,000 years ago. But one now restraining will do so until he is out of the way. Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, is restraining this world. Do you realize that the Bible says in the end times there are demonic spirits, and this is not for the weak or the unbeliever. Do you realize that the Bible says in the book of Revelation that there are demonic spirits that were so cruel and so harsh and so evil that God would not let them go upon the face of the earth as demonic spirits until the appointed of the end times, and that in the end times they would be released? And I see it. Who would ever thought that you would see people struggling with being a male or a female and you'd have to go tell them? I understand X and I understand Y, and I get scientific principles with hermaphrodites. But when it comes to feminine men and masculine women, there's a problem in the scriptures here. There's a problem. And how many of you would ever thought that you would have to convince your grandson or tell your grandson you're a boy and you're a girl? If you're struggling with that, and there are people who struggle with that, and we love them, there's a great new book out by Nancy Piercy called Love. You need to buy it. It just came out this week. I just bought it. Who would ever thought that you would have to, if you were a Christian, you were considered to be a bigot in this world? That Christianity is considered to be intellectually numb. That Christianity is made fun of everywhere you go. That the president of Disney, ABC, calls someone who should have been called because of a racial slur, but never called anyone when it relates to ABC backing anti-Christian propaganda and using the same derogatory terms towards our people. Amen. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. Somebody say amen. Who'd ever think that we're living in a world where mothers murder their babies and say it's my baby in my womb? Who would ever think that we're living in such a cruel world that nothing makes sense and that common sense is no longer common anymore? Who'd ever thought that you could break the law and get away with it if you had enough money? Because the last time I checked on the courthouse of the United States government and the Supreme Court, Moses was holding a scale in his hand talking about the balance of power. And that justice, Lady Justice, has got a blindfold around her, holding two scales, saying that justice is blind. Justice is not blind in this country today. It's based on who you know and how much money you got. Who had ever thought that half the preachers in America don't even believe that this book is the word of the living God? We're living in the last days and in the last hour. And that's not anything to be sad about. If you know Christ is your Savior and you know God your Father, you got to be ready. You got to be packed up. You got to have your lamps trimmed and burning, because he could come back at any moment. And I hope he does, because there's going to be a final curtain call. All of you people who wonder where God is in the suffering of children, and all of you people who wonder and ask, how can a good God allow so much misery? It's not over until it's over. And in Christianity, we are the only religion that has an answer to suffering and a good God. And this is that answer. He's going to make every right wrong. He's going to quarantine the sheep from the goats. He's going to cut down one of two trees in the garden. And in the book of Revelation, there'll only be the tree of life. And he's going to do away with evil. And that which sins, and that which is disobedient, that which murders, that which lies, that which is unhonest, that which is blasphemy, that which is antichrist, is going to go to hell. And everybody who knows the name of the Lord is going to go and live with him for eternity, where there will be no more suffering, there'll be no more pain, there'll be no more cancer, there'll be no more nothing, because the former things are going to pass away, and behold, all things are going to become new. That's got me stirred up. He said, be sober and stay awake about these things. Go to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, verse 7, it simply says these words. Start at verse 6. You're going to hear wars and rumors of wars, and all you old saints have heard that for years. See to it that you're not alarmed, all you new saints that can't make it through a migraine this week without giving up on God. Read carefully. Because these things must take place, but the end is not yet. For a nation will rise up against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places, but all these things and the events are the beginning of birth pains, the Bible says. Look at verse 2 in Matthew chapter 24. Then Jesus looked to them sitting on the temple complex, where I'll take you if you go to Israel with me in April. He says, don't you see all these things, these big boulders that Herod built and that Jesus crafted with Joseph his dad? He said, I assure you, let me tell you something. There's two things in this world that will not change. There's two things in this world you can take to the bank, according to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17. And that is God's word and God's oath. If God says it in his word, let me tell you something. It may take 2,000 years to perform it, but it will not return void. If God has given you a promise and he's made an oath to you, you hang on to that oath and don't you give up on that oath, because God is immutable. He does not change. And the two things that the writers of Hebrews says that God does not change is, and that he's immutable in, and that's the literal Greek, is that he is immutable in his word and he's immutable in his oath. His word cannot lie. And when his word says in the last days, there'll be wars and rumors of wars. These are just the birth pains. When the word of God says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ shall rise first, then those of us who remain shall be caught up, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hallelujah! When the word of God says, two shall be in the field and one shall be taken. When the word of God says that my word won't return void to me, what has God promised you today? What has God spoke to you in the last 3 years you're still waiting on? I'm here to tell you his word is immutable and his oath is immutable. God cannot lie. And he says, there's going to come a day when not one stone will be upon the other. And that happened in 70 AD. Jesus was crucified around 30 to 33 AD, depending on which calendar you use. More than likely, because of what we now know about astronomy and the structure of the universe, on April the 6th. But before he died and he cried out, "Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And he uttered those final syllables, "It is finished." Just a few years later, what he said here in Matthew 24 and 2 took place. And the temple was destroyed through the Jewish revolt in 70 AD. He starts talking to his disciples. Now let me show you something really old. Go to Psalms chapter 2. In Psalms chapter 2, you hear a peculiar, familiar cry if you were to compare Netanyahu to King David. And I want to remind all of you college students that are in, or any of you that are in here today, that they just found the kingdom of David, archaeologists. The one they said that didn't exist, the one they said that was embellished, the one they said wasn't really as big as what David said he was because he's trying to intimidate his enemies. And all of the fools who said something other than what the scriptures say have been made greater fools because it was just exactly the way the Bible talks about. In Psalms chapter 2, verse 1, is familiar cry from King David who ruled Israel in a undivided kingdom. And what you hear Benjamin Netanyahu saying today about Israel. "Why do the nations rebel and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers conspire together against the Lord and his anointed one. Let us tear off their chains and free ourselves from their restraints. The one enthroned in heaven laughs and the Lord ridicules them. Then he speaks to them in his anger and terrifies them with his wrath. I have consecrated, I have set apart, I have sanctified," what? Mount Zion, Jerusalem. "I have set it apart. It's my holy mountain. I made it." Now, let's set the stage. Go to the book of Daniel. In the book of Daniel, many people didn't believe that the book of Daniel was a book that should have been canonized. It was one of the last books of the Old Testament accepted by the Jewish people. Archaeologists, up until the last 30 years, ridiculed it because there was no proof of what Daniel said. Now, there's proof every time you turn around. From the bricks of Nebuchadnezzar to the cylinder of Cyrus of Cyrene, history is popping up proving the book of Daniel. In Daniel chapter 8, verse 4, go there. And I want to talk to you about a prophecy that took place 2,600 years ago. 2,600 years ago, in chapter 8, verse 4, we pick up. And the prophecy talks about a ram and a goat. And it says, "I saw the ram charging," Daniel said, "to the west, the north, and the south. And no animal could stand against him, and there was no rescue from his power. He did whatever he wanted and became," I think this is so amazing that the Hebrew would use this, "and he became great." Do you understand what you're reading right there? Look at verse 20. In verse 20 it says, "The two-horned ram that you saw represents the king of Media and Persia." Persia is the kingdom of Iran, biblically speaking. Iran changed its name, in the 1980s to the Iran Republic. Before then, it was something else. And then before then, it didn't even exist as an empire anymore. And do you realize that you're looking at the scriptures where Daniel 2,600 years ago prophesied that the country, the powers, the kingdom, the superpowers of Persia would be defeated by someone who came from a specific direction three times and said the kingdom of Persia and Media. And when you look at verse 4, it says, "He did whatever he wanted and he became great." Do you know who fulfilled this prophecy? Alexander the Great. Watch the movie Alexander the Great with his bad hair dye in that movie, and you will see where he really overtook, through three enormous battles, the kingdom of Persia. One of my favorite scenes in the movie. The Bible is saying to you and I right here something very important for us in 2018. It is saying that Persia, the Medes and the Persians, the Persian Empire of Iran, which would have been a little bigger than what Iran is today, but it's still Iran, is going to have a battle, and a king who is great, who will do whatever he wants to do, will attack you, Daniel says to the Persians. He says he will wipe you out and your kingdom will be no more. He'll destroy you. And as a matter of fact, there were three epic battles between Greece, Alexander the Great, and Persia around the closing of the Old Testament. Somewhere around 450, 300 BC. Now, why is this important to you? Everybody go to Ezekiel chapter 38. In Ezekiel chapter 38, you see where something peculiar begins to happen. In Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 39, 37 is about the dry bones, reunification of Israel, Israel becoming a nation again, the defeat of Gog, which we're still not sure who that is. That word implies in the Hebrew a very high, important leader, someone of great influence. And it says, let's just read right here. It tells you who's going to attack them. We'll start at verse 1, chapter 38. Now, everybody look at chapter 38, verse 1, and listen to Pastor for a moment. You have to understand what I just taught you. That the Bible, through the prophet Daniel, spoke and gave a prophetic word, which is how you know what scripture was and what it was not considered in the Old Testament. A prophet spoke, or it was not considered holy writ. And Daniel prophesies. How do you know if he's a real prophet? The things he says about God comes to pass. And so the prophet spoke and he said, there's coming a battle. And you have to realize who he's working for at the time. He was working for the Persians and the Medes. He had been blessed because of Nebuchadnezzar and the favor of God with the other guy that he worked for. And so here he is, he's saying, listen, the Lord spoke to me and said that there's coming a battle, and a man that will come from these directions who will do whatever he wants to do because he's great will come and destroy the Persians and the Medes. And that was Alexander the Great, and he did. History, it's a fact. Even the movie Alexander the Great shows you that. So then would you please tell me how Ezekiel 38 begins to happen? Watch this. Ezekiel 38, I'm going to show you the power of your Bible right now. Verse 1, the word of the Lord came to me. The son of man, turn your face towards Gog in the land of Magog, and the chief priests of Meshach and Tubal, prophesy against him and say these things. This is what the Lord God says. Look, I am against you, Gog, chief priests of Meshach and Tubal. I turn you around. I will put hooks in your jaws, and I will bring you out with all your armies, including your horses and riders, who are splendidly dressed, and a huge company armed with shields and bucklers, all of them brandishing swords, Persia, Cush, and Put. It names the cities, names the civilizations. Persia is Iran. So not only does the Bible prophesy the destruction of Iran, of the Persians and the Medes, it turns around and prophesies the resurrection of Persia. It prophesies the resurrection, as you will know next week, of the bear, of Russia, of Gog and Magog, and of Rosh. It says that this country, Russian, the Russian people, will be the ones who will come against Israel. Names them by name. Now, Trista, get ready because I want you to show the picture of the three guys, but not yet. But when I say just push the button, push the button. The Bible in Ezekiel 37, 38, and 39 says right here, and I've explained this so many times, I'm not going to explain it again right now on Wednesday nights, that Russia and Iran will primarily do a stronghold with the ancient people of Turkey. It names Turkey. If you do your ethnicity from Genesis 10, and there has never been an ethnicist in the history of ethnicity that has ever disproven Genesis chapter 10. It's never happened. Never happened. Why? Because God watches over his word. Somebody say amen. And so that Bible, that same Bible says that the Persian, the Medes are going to be destroyed. Alexander the Great came and destroyed them. Then that same Bible says in Ezekiel through another prophet in 37, 38, 39, that there will be a revival of Iran, the Persian people. And that the Persian people will play a little part in coming against Israel. But Ezekiel chapter 37, 38, and 39, without a doubt, on good hermeneutics, on tremendous exegesis, absolutely, positively says, and it has never happened before in history, it positively says that in the end times, keep your eye on Syria, Isaiah 17, and watch, because Russia will align with Iran, and Iran will align with Turkey, and those three predominant countries, along with Libya and parts of Afghanistan and Ethiopia, the Sudan, will absolutely go and attack Israel when they're not looking to be attacked. That's what the Bible says. Now let me show you, because I'm a skeptic. I wish I could say I'm John that just sits and, Jesus, I love you, and I sit at your feet and I just write like you're my best friend. I want to be John. I'm not John. I love Jesus, but I'm not John. I'd like to be Peter and be bold and tell people what I think and just tell them how the cow ate the cabbage, but that's not who I am. I'm St. Thomas. Nice story. Show me your hands. You realize Thomas won more people. I feel the Holy Ghost tonight. Do you realize St. Thomas won more people to Christ than any of the other disciples after Jesus died? Happy birthday. He won more people to Christ than anybody else. Nice story. Show me your hands. And once I saw his hands, that's all I needed. My God, I wish I was in a camp meeting with about 6,000 people and I could preach this tonight. You'd be throwing babies and kissing chairs. Do you hear me? The Bible says, Ezekiel chapter 36, 37, 38, and 39, that in the end time there'll be a revival of the Persian Empire. And the Bible specifically said 2,600 plus years ago that Russia, I'm going to use modern language, and Turkey and Iran are going to get together for the destruction of Israel. And I've taught you for 4 weeks or three or four, I can't remember, that Syria is the hinchpin to the coming of the Son of Man. And so I said, okay, if this is true, it's got to be in the newspapers. And Shannon, look at what I found. Show it, Trista. You don't see this stuff, Billy, in American papers. You know who's on the right? That's the president of Turkey, who is a Islamic Muslim sympathizer. The person that preceded him were Western nominal Muslims. They love Western democracy. This guy is an Islamic fundamentalist and fired 6,000 judges because there was a coup against his life in 2016, a little couple of months after I left. I spent 30 days there. Beautiful country, beautiful people, full of nominal Muslims. But he is a radical. Do you know who's in the middle? Putin. Everybody had to rewrite their prophecies during the 80s because the Soviet Union collapsed and they said, we must have misunderstood it. You didn't misunderstand a stinking thing, except that the Bible's true and you don't know what you're talking about. Because now it came back. The bear returned. Same thing with Iran. To the person to the left, that's the president of Iran. And you know what they're talking about? This was filmed, this picture was taken in April of 2018. And you know what they're talking about? Syria. I didn't see that on Fox. I didn't see it on, good Lord, you ain't going to see it on CNN. I didn't see it on none of them. I thought, where'd this picture come from? And we were dumb enough as a country to give $150 billion in cash, not counting the other stuff, to that joker on the left. I'm a little ahead of myself. Trisha, show the video. Ahmadinejad, who is the president of Iran.
مجری دستورات آمریکا و انگلیس جنایتکار است. اونها تصور میکنند که ملت‌های 100 سال قبلند. غافل از اینکه شرایط دنیا عوض شده است. امروز همه ملت‌ها بیدارند و ملت ایران پرچمدار بیداری همه ملت‌هاست. ما می‌بینیم از جنوبی ترین نقطه آمریکای جنوبی تا شرقی ترین نقطه آسیا همه ملت ها یک فریاد می زنند و همه اونها با پلاکارد و مشت های گره کرده فریاد می زنند مرگ بر اسرائیل.
Now how many of you saw that on American television? No one. I already know the answer. You didn't see that on American television. And that was before our country was foolish enough and stupid enough to give them $150 billion. And I don't care what you think about Trump. Thank God he loves Israel, and thank God he got our money. It reneged out of the agreement with Iran. They have two goals in life: to destroy the Sunnis and to destroy Israel. And they hate us and call us Satan. Now, folks, I don't give a rat's rear end whether you're Republican or Democrat or Independent. Do you understand how I feel about politics now? I'm purple. My allegiance is not to a political party. My allegiance is to this party right here, the Son of the Living God. His word is right. The Republicans are wrong. His word is right. The Democrats are wrong. His word is right, and the Independents are wrong. Let man be a liar, but let every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God return not to us void, but let it perform everything that God said it was going to do. Don't bet your life on politics. Bet it on the word of the living God. And so it says that those Persians are going to be the one after Ezekiel 37. And let me tell you how you know. Look at Ezekiel 37. Let me tell you how you know it's about today and not yesterday. How it's not preterist. You know it's not preterist because Ezekiel 37 says Israel must come back as a nation before this happens. So don't give me the Assyrian army. Don't give me the Medes. Don't give me all these other stories. Israel has to become a nation again, fulfilling the prophecy. I wish I had time to talk to you. I'll put it in this sermon. The next 2 weeks before we finish our Wednesday night series for the summer and take our summer break or sabbatical, I'm going to show you with math, and you don't want to miss this night. I'm going to show you with math in the Old Testament, where they prophesied the exact year that Israel would become a nation. And it's not, you say, Michael, you've been drinking on the Holy Ghost. Ezekiel 37 says Israel has to become a nation. And it says that Russia will have an Islamic alliance. That's what the Bible says. And it says in Ezekiel 38 and 39, Russia, Afghanistan, Turkey, Persia, Iran, Sudan, Libya, Algeria, Tanzania are all going to come after Israel in a surprise attack. It says one of the things that has to happen is Israel has to feel safe and Israel has to feel no threat. And when the nation that is the most powerful nation in the world, with a leader now, and this ain't about politics, this is about personalities, with a leader that tells South or North Korea that if you touch us, it's over for you. Not a leader that says, here's $150 billion and grovels at their feet, but a leader that says, you're not going to push us around. Now, you have to understand what that means biblically and prophetically. What it means is that the Bible says that Israel will become a nation again, but if Israel is going to be at peace and feel at peace and safe, what greater way, may I suggest to your minds, is there for Israel to feel at peace than to have the largest military and the most powerful global power, superpower in the world have the guts to say, we're moving our embassy to Jerusalem? Do you think that the people in the Golan Heights just went nuts overnight? No, they've been doing that for years. But you happen to be living in the dispensation of time to where if Israel is ever going to feel peace in the last 30 years of my life, it's going to be right now. It's like having a big brother. You pick on him, you pick on me. It's what I like keeping Stevie around a lot growing up in my life. My little cousin Stevie, 6'5", 350 pounds on the right side. Somebody ran off and started bullying us down at Walmart one time, and I had to say one thing. Hey, Stevie, come here. Nobody wanted to play after that. It's the same way with America. It has nothing to do with Republicans, Democrats, Donald Trump, or Barack Obama. They're nothing but puppets in God's hand. Do you hear me? I said they're nothing but puppets in the hand of God. I hope you understand you're hearing a prophetic word tonight. He's about to return. That ain't nothing to be sad about. Are you kidding me? You can stay here in this. This is not my home. Do I want to change it? Yes. And June and this Sunday, I'm going to give you an announcement. It's going to tell you about how we're going to change this city greater than we've ever changed it in our life. A bigger footprint than we've ever had in 18 years. I'm not planning on going home. I'm planning on being in the field working when he comes back. Hey, somebody say amen. But if Israel's going to feel safe, Ezekiel 37, now would be a pretty good time to feel safe, don't you think? Rationally and logically. And Ezekiel says, and Daniel refers to, that these things can't happen unless Israel's a nation. Israel became a nation in 1967, right in there. And that when these things were Russia and Turkey and Iran, to keep the names short, come against Israel based out of an Assyrian conflict, Isaiah 17 is the hinchpin. That hinchpin may take another 10, 20 years. I don't know. It may take 10 seconds. They've been fighting again all week. It's amazing how in America you hear crap every day, and pardon me, but I'm not in a pussyfoot mood around today. You understand what I'm saying to you? How the thing on the American news is whether Kim Kardashian went to the White House. I don't care whether she went to the White House or not. She's not my role model. Israel and Syria have been bombing each other all week. The Bible says, the Holy Scriptures that said, if you will believe on him, you shall not perish but have everlasting life. Didn't say you got to come cry crocodile tears, say three Hail Marys. Said, no, if you believe on him, you shall have eternal life. That same book says that Israel has to become a nation before Iran, Turkey, in the providences, and Russia come against Israel with the hinchpin of Damascus in Isaiah 17, Syria. Check. And then it also says, and this could not have been said a year ago, that Israel must feel safe. It says, when they feel safe, the Bible says sudden destruction is soon to come. And that doesn't mean God hates Israel. It means God is about to restore Israel. You have to understand that. You as Gentiles and me as a Gentile have been, I'm actually 1% Jew, so I got a 1% chance of getting in with just being Jewish. We've been engrafted into the vine, John 15, 1 through 17. Gentiles and Jews have been engrafted in. And so that you see also, if you look at Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 15, that there is another thing. People say, what about Iraq? More than likely, and this is not for sure, more than likely Iraq will join because the scriptures say, and many people with you. Let me tell you, and I know I'm over time, but it school's out, and just give me just a second. Do you realize that Russia and Turkey are prominent in the destruction of Israel according to the scriptures? And that even Jewish rabbis are writing in Jewish newspapers about going back to the prophet Daniel and Ezekiel and seeing biblical prophecy fulfilled. When you look at Daniel chapter 8, verse 4 and verse 20, you need to understand how to contextualize your gospel and then use the hermeneutics to interpret it and the exegesis to pull the marrow out. One such way is to look at the culture. You have to be careful there, but I'm going to quote the German's foreign minister identified Iran as the key to establishing order in the chaotic Middle East. And do you realize that Arabs are afraid of Iranians and have been for thousands of years? Do you understand that Iran is dominated by Shiite Muslims? And that there is a difference between an Iranian who is Shiite or a Sunni Muslim? And that the Shiite Muslims hate Sunnis? And why do they hate them? Because they believe that when Muhammad died, there was a right succession plan already established, and that when Muhammad died, the prophet, that there was someone who should have replaced him in succession. And they believe, the Sunnis believe, that it was Allah, or the Shiites, believed it was Allah. Let me explain something. All Muslims believe there is no God but Allah. But a Shiite Muslim added the phrase, Allah is the friend of God. So the reason you never hear anyone on an airplane or with a hatchet in London say, Allah, there is no God but Allah, and Allah is the friend of God, is because there's a difference between a militant Shiite and a nominal Sunni. These are all Muslims. What you need to know is that Shiites added the extra phrase, there is no God but Allah, and Allah is the friend of God. Allah was supposed to be the successor in 626 AD to Islam, or 632 AD, because Allah was Muhammad's son-in-law. Sunnis chose Muhammad's third cousin instead of Allah to be the caliphate. The caliphate. What is the caliphate? It is the deputy of God. The caliph. The deputy of God. Why is that important for us tonight? Because Iran is 89% Shiite. Shiites have two goals, along with the Sunnis, and that is support expansion of military Islamic, especially in Shiite countries, and destroy Israel. Where are the greatest pockets of Shiites? Yemen, Lebanon, and Syria. Shiites are the militant form of Islam. June 2006, the Department The State of Department of State for the United States says Iran is one of the most dangerous companies in supporting terrorism. Now here's where I want to end. Daniel 8, chapter 4, verse 20 says, the goat from the west would race across the world to attack and destroy the ram, which was the symbol of the Persian Medes. Alexander the Great did that in three battles. Daniel then speaks up and predicts a Persian empire, now long gone, would walk by unto the world stage and come upon it once again. Ezekiel 38, 1 through 5, it mentions it by name. Iran has a bit part. And a multinational coalition that's going to surprise attack Israel. And why would Iran be in bed with such radical Islamic fundamentalist rhetoric with Putin? In 1980 and 1988, Iran and Iraq had a war. It was horrible. Those of you that are alive remember the Iran hostage negotiations. I still remember watching that on TV as a child. But what else happened then? The collapse of the Soviet Union. Iran-Iraq war, collapse of the Soviet Union. And what world did that create? It created a world where Iran couldn't make it and Russians were starving to death. So Russia, who makes military equipment, began to sell it to the country of Iran after 1988 and gained their wealth back. Not to mention our foolish country, who gave them $150 billion in cash. Not to mention the rest of it. In 2000, you go home and Google this as we close. In 2000, Iran announced that they would start a 25-year national military modernization program. Russian jets are the only jets allowed within our lifetime to land in Iran, so that they can defend Assad, the Shiite, in Syria. Iran needed to rebuild its military, and Russia needed the money from the sale of weapons. Today, and you go home and Google this, Iran spends $500 million a year on military equipment from Russia. But Daniel chapter 12, verse 9, says that these things will be sealed until the end. There's no way for a preterist to move forward from this point. Because Scripture says that everything we've talked about is to be sealed until the end. The good news for you, if you're living right and saved, your Lord and your Savior is about to return for you and to remove you from all suffering. You say there's some people believe we'll go through the tribulation, and this is the hinge-pin to the tribulation. There's no doubt about that. What do you think about that, Pastor Michael? Well, I'll tell you what I think about that. I think that's nonsense. Now, why do you think that the church will not go through the tribulation? There's 3.5 years of tribulation, 3.5 years of great tribulation. We may go through a year, year and a half as we enter into the tribulation. I don't know. But you're never going to convince me on your best day theologically that we serve a God who sent his one and only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believeth on him shall not perish but have everlasting life, would wait until the end to get even. For this is the same God that wrapped two naked human beings in the Garden of Eden and developed a plan to bring them back to walk in the cool of the day. For this is the same God that took Noah and said, build a boat, and put them in an ark of safety when the world was judged and destroyed. For this is the same God that looked at Pharaoh and Moses and said, boy, get to the land of Goshen. I'll handle this. And he created a land called Goshen to protect the children of Israel during the plagues of Egypt and Pharaoh. And that is the same God that says, in a moment, in a twinkling of the eye, the dead in Christ shall rise first. then those of us who remain shall be caught up, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. It is the same God that had the psalmist write, I'm a strong tower and a refuge, and the righteous learn to run into me and are safe. God that loves you is about to separate goats from sheep. I'd make sure I was a sheep. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Love you guys.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.